This morning's first scripture lesson is from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 84. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it can be found on page 543 of the Old Testament, Psalm 84, verses 1 through 12. Let us listen for God's word. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praises. Happy are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, our God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now turning to the New Testament, we read from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 60 to 71. It can be found on page 99 of the New Testament in your Pew Bibles. John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 60. Let us listen again for God's word to us. Now, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was speaking of Judas of Iscariot, for he knew the one of the 12, he was going to betray him. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ. I don't know if any of you noticed the sign as you came in today or came along the road. It's now up and lit, and just on Friday, we are able to program new messages so you can get a preview of what the next Sunday sermon is going to be, or you'll be reminded, and the whole community will know when we change from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., and we'll be able to put new announcements out there each week. It's amazing these days what passes for news. I was on the PATH train, and they have the little news monitors, and one of the important news alerts was Starbucks has announced that this fall the pumpkin spice latte will actually have pumpkin in it. Really? That's news that the Starbucks pumpkin spice latte is going to have pumpkin in it? Quick, let me go tell all my friends. This is big news. Get ready, get ready. Pumpkin spice latte has pumpkin in it. Sounds more like an advertisement for Starbucks than it is really news. But I guess in this 24/7 news industry and entertainment industry, sometimes you sort of scrape the bottom of the barrel when it comes to news stories. I remember when I was a pastor in Charleston, South Carolina, and coordinating the crop walk for that city and that community, I had the chance to go on the midday news and talk about the walk that was coming up. And so I was all prepared. I had a little press packet with frequently asked questions so that the newscaster would know a little bit about what crop walk was about, that it was a 10K walk for hunger relief, both local and around the world. And so just before the news show, I handed it to the news anchor, and he's looking over it, and he goes, "Oh, hunger. Our survey and research says people don't like the word hunger. Can you find another word and just don't say that word on the air?" So, okay, when this is a walk for hunger relief, how am I supposed to talk? It's a walk for relief. It's, and then he said, "Oh, and I see here that half of the money goes for a relief around the world. Our survey says that people tune into the news only to find out what's going on locally. So don't talk about worldwide stuff." Just, I thought, by the time we finish, this isn't news. This is just telling people what they want to hear. It's amazing what passes for news these days. And another piece of news this last week is this nation's top grossing film for last weekend and this week is a film called Straight Outta Compton, which is, again, you wonder if that's news or if that's just an advertisement for the film industry, but at least in this way, we know what's on the minds of the people of the country. What are they interested in? What are they actually paying money to go see? And this week, the film of the top-selling film, the biggest hit, is Straight Outta Compton. And I don't know if you noticed in on the bulletin insert that our secretary looked up an app, and today's sermon title is Straight Outta Nazareth. And so she used the Straight Outta Compton image and a picture of Jesus for your bulletin insert, for your newsworthy and entertainment pleasure. The movie Straight Outta Compton is a story behind the hip-hop rappers N.W.A. who produced their first recording of the same title in 1988, Straight Outta Compton. Their music was controversial in its honesty about the reality of life for urban blacks. It catapulted the artists Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, and Ice Cube into instant stardom. Almost two decades later, many of the same issues that they sang about are front and center in our news headlines on a regular basis, which is probably why it's the number one movie of the nation right now. I'll be honest, the movie is not appropriate for all audiences. I haven't seen the whole movie. I've just seen the trailers and have looked up information on it online and watched some short clips. The language is rough, to say the least. And the subject matter is as gritty as life on the streets in one of America's poorest neighborhoods. The film tells a story of how some boys from a place as tough as Compton and East LA made their way out of the hood and actually made a difference and an impact on the world. One line in the film that echoes in my mind is when one of the rappers says, "Speak a little truth and people lose their minds. Speak a little truth and people lose their minds." 2,000 years earlier, another controversial figure hit the scene. Only now we literally portray him in beautiful white robes and often adorned with even a halo around his head. But that wasn't always the story. When Jesus walked the earth, carrying out his ministry of grace and truth and love and healing, he was seen by many as a revolutionary and, if not a troublemaker himself, one who stirred up trouble in others. Today's gospel story depicts a point in his life and ministry when many of those who were following him found his truth-telling too offensive to their ears. And so today's gospel story could be entitled Straight Outta Nazareth. The passage begins with these words. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Does this offend you?" And at that point, many of those who were enthusiastically following him before were not so enthusiastic anymore. I mean, it was great when he turned water into wine or provided free lunch on the hillside. But when he started challenging people about what it means to love your neighbor, all of your neighbors, when he started pressing them about the hypocrisy of maintaining religious rules on one hand while hurting people on the other, when he talked about letting the one who is without sin casting the first stone, well, then it seemed that Jesus had gone from preaching to meddling, and they weren't so happy anymore. And so Jesus turns to the 12 apostles, and he asks, "What about you? Do you also wish to go away? What about you? Do you also wish to go away?" Any of us who take our faith seriously, any of us who have been paying attention to our lives and the world around us, must at some time or another face moments of confrontation when the practices and teachings of our faith beg to ask the question, "Does this offend you? What about you? Do you also wish to go away?" There are moments of conviction when we realize that our apathy and cowardice has hurt and maybe indirectly even cost the lives of others. There are times when we choose an easy religion that keeps us comfortable instead of being faithful. And there are occasions when we treasure being judgmental over being forgiving. We choose complaining over being compassionate, and we prefer holding on to grudges rather than receiving God's goodness. There are times when, without even knowing it, we are among those who walk away from the true gospel of God's message. You see, the temptation of the church has always been to refuse to be God's prophetic, compassionate people, and to fashion, instead of a church, a sort of private family chapel where people who are like us and people that we like can be comfortable with our selfishness and our prejudices. And in such case, God becomes for us some kind of a spiritual butler, taking our requests as if his whole purpose was to make life easier for us. So by default, like the many who were the fair-weather followers of Jesus, we too turn away. Only all too often, we don't even know that we have turned away. A friend of mine is an artist and a potter in North Carolina. And one day she was working at the potter's wheel, and as she was working the clay, she found herself singing the old hymn, "Have Thine Own Way." And so she's working at the wheel, and she's singing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I am the potter, thou art the clay." And then she caught herself and she realized she had turned it around. Instead of "thou art the potter, I am the clay," she started singing, I am the potter, and you are the clay. She realized the words she sang were all too true. Her faith was more about, have my own way, Lord, have my own way. Sadly, it's often those outside the church who see through our hypocrisy and inconsistencies better than we do. They see the bickering and the bad-mouthing. They see the selfishness, and they say, if that's what Christian faith is, I want no part of it. C.S. Lewis got to the heart of it in his book Mere Christianity when he wrote, when Christians behave badly, we are making Christianity unbelievable to the outside world. Our careless lives set the outer world talking, and we give them grounds for talking in a way that throws doubt on Christianity itself. Yes, people are watching. Unchurched people, de-churched people, and everybody in between, are we giving them reason to believe or to have doubt? Sometimes we turn away without even realizing what we have done. Other times, we are tempted to turn away due to a more intentional, honest crisis of faith. Perhaps someone whom we associate with our faith, maybe even the pastor or some church leader, has let us down or disappointed us because they are human. Perhaps we've disappointed ourselves and felt that our failures can't hold up to the image we think we're supposed to be. Or maybe there's something in the scriptures, or at least something in how the scriptures are interpreted, that does not or cannot make sense to us anymore. And it seems, in one sense, the most honest thing to do would be to turn away. Maybe the church is too conservative, or the church is too liberal, or the church is too involved with the community, or the church is not involved enough with the community. Why can't everyone else just see things the way that I see things? And in such moments, the words of Jesus echo down through the centuries. Does this offend you? What about you? Do you also wish to go away? The thing about the Gospel of John is that it's written in such a way that it doesn't let the reader off the hook. It pulls you into the story, and the story that you thought was just about Jesus and the people hundreds and hundreds of years ago suddenly becomes a story about you. You find yourself identifying with one or all of the characters at some level, and you realize that this gospel story is actually your story. Do you see yourself in today's story as the crowds of disciples who find the truth too hard to follow? Do you even see a little of yourself in Jesus who wonders, does anyone have the capacity to be faithful and really follow? But chances are, I think because you're here today, you are probably most like Peter, the one who says, Lord, to whom else can we go? For in you we have found the words of eternal life. He says, Lord, to whom can we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Notice he doesn't say, Lord, I'm 100% absolutely confident in everything you say. I'm with you all the way. No, this follower, for whom one friend of mine described him as, there is absolutely no distance between what comes in his mind and what goes out his mouth. This Peter, who would promise the world and then forget or even deny Jesus in the next moment, this brash, say what I mean what I say, Peter, this one, in all his devotion and imperfection, he blurts out, to whom can we go? For you hold the words of eternal life. That's where I think you are. That's where I think most of us are. There are still questions. There are things we don't fully understand. There are things that we may even think are unfair or at least the way that we see it. Yet, like Peter, in the marrow of our bones, in the center of our being, we know that somewhere here is life. And not just life, but eternal life. And until we do figure it out, until we do understand it, we are holding on for all it's worth. To whom can we go? For you have life. And that's all I can promise you on this Sunday morning. But maybe that's all that you need. Maybe it's all that you can really comprehend with the limited bandwidth of our human minds. I can't explain all the particulars. I can't guarantee that every question will be answered to your complete satisfaction. I can't even promise that everything fits together neatly and there are no hard truths that are not easily explained, but I can promise you this, that in this one that we call Jesus Christ and the way and teachings he has given, in him there is life. There is life, not just life that corresponds to the span of our days on this earth. In him, there is eternal life. There is life that is bigger than your time here on this planet. There is life that is deeper than your imagination. There is life that is greater than the potential that you could imagine. We are here this morning, not because we know everything. We are here this morning not because we know even what lies beyond death, but we are here because we know who lies beyond death, and we have learned to trust in his presence. We know that the one has been with us through the good times and through the darkest valleys, and he will never leave us, and in him we have found life. And so he comes to us today, straight out of Nazareth, speaking truth, a truth that confounds and confronts our comfortable assumptions, and yet a truth that comforts, convicts, and completes us in places we didn't even know we were lacking. This Jesus, straight out of Nazareth, knows you for exactly who you are, for exactly what you have done and what you haven't done. You don't need to pretend. There's no use trying to impress this one, for he made you and he redeemed you, and he has the power to make you into the best possible version of who you were created to be. This Jesus, straight out of Nazareth, has the truth to set you free. So what about you? Will you also leave? Or like Peter, will you say, Lord, to whom will we go? For you have the words of eternal life. May those words of eternal life fill every aching, empty place in your life with hope and peace and a healing love that is eternal. Glory be to God, world without end. Amen.